The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, good morning, church. Is it still morning? Yeah, it's 9. Oh, we're just starting. This is great. It says it's 10 to 9. This is okay. We all love church, right? We love being in church. And it's okay if a service is a couple hours longer. I remember times when I went to church and it took us an hour to get there. We had to walk. We couldn't afford a bus. So we would walk for an hour and then a service would be for 5 hours. And then you have a tiny little break. You have a little bun or a cracker. And then you have another service that starts. And so you practically, your whole day, you're at church. Guess what? That was the best atmosphere that you could be in. It was like revival going to happen. People were hungry for the Lord. The atmosphere was so thick and with the presence of God. And sometimes we think, well, I got other plans after service. But isn't that supposed to be the whole day for the Lord? Isn't it supposed to be one of those day seven should be for Him, amen? Whichever one you pick. But I believe it's something for us to challenge ourselves. We get so comfortable, so used to certain ways and certain things that we don't want any change. But do you want change in your lives? Change from God, then guess what? You have to take a different path at times. If you want changes, you need to make different choices. So sometimes it's a very humbling choice to humble ourselves, to say, all right, Lord, I know I'm ready to go, you know, but whatever you're doing, I'll just go with the flow. So let's trust Him this morning. I want to pray with you first. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this body. We thank you for the fact that we can come to you at any time, at any place. We can come to you the way that we are, hurt, upset, angry, hungry, frustrated, sick. We come to you. When we're happy and when we're rejoicing, when we have victory after victory that we see in our lives, we come to you. And this morning is not different. We come to you because we love you. We come to you because we want more of you, Lord. Not just testimonies that are out there, but we want testimonies to happen within our lives. We want miraculous to happen within our lives, within our families, within our homes. So, Father, have it your way this morning. Do what you want to do. Today, we give you full freedom. Can you just say that? Today, I give you full freedom to do what you want to do in my life. And one more thing, I think I'm going to ask you to do that. If you are wearing glasses, would you take them off and just put your hand, if you're not, just put your hand on your eyes, cover your eyes and say, God, I want to see through your eyes. I want to see through your eyes, your perspective. We thank you, Lord, for the new, fresh perspective. For the new way to look at things, through your eyes. It helps us to love. It helps us to humble ourselves and realize that He sees everything different. At the end of the day, you guys, what people think of you, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you think of yourself. What does matter is what He thinks of you, amen? So that's why we're praying and asking for His perspective on things. How does He see this church? How does He see you? How does He see us? What do we do? Because sometimes we want to do nothing. Just because we're comfortable, you know, it's good. So I'm here to challenge you this morning. I feel like, wow. I hope nobody has the rotten tomatoes here. To toss at me. I mean, I've seen that in movies, people do that, so it never actually happened to me. So I have a story to tell you. It's so funny. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be funny to you. It's funny for me. So a friend of mine, I have quite a few friends in the States who have adopted out of Ukraine, which I'm always so privileged and honored to come and visit those families. I get to see Lydia, who's amazing and doing so well. It's always such a celebration for me. And I don't know, you guys see her regularly, and I get to see her like once a year. So every time I see her, it's such a radical transformation of this life. In Ukraine, they said she'll die. Why are you taking her? That's the short version. So every day she's a testimony, she's an encouragement, she's a radical testimony and evidence of God's love. And so I get to see these lives that are changed and transformed here when they're taken from Ukraine by these amazing parents who are so brave. They have, you know, a bunch of kids of their own, and they're still adopting, and some of them are adapting Down syndrome kids or FAS or, you know, whatever, autistics. It's like handicapped, and it's not easy. And so one of my friends, her and her husband live in Wisconsin. They have 5 kids of their own, and they adopted 4 Downs. You guys, 9 kids. Crazy, right? And it's like all challenging. Not at the same time they adopted them, you know, 1 year at a time. But it becomes to be a handful. So I get to see them every year, visit them, and it's such a joy. But she made a post on Facebook just last week, and I absolutely love it because it's such truth for all of us, and I encourage you to apply it. I'll just read it because it's better that way. The devil whispered in my ear, "You're not strong enough to withstand the storm," I whispered back. "Dude, I'm a special needs mom. I'm tired enough to sleep through it." Now I know why Jesus was sleeping in the boat. He was just tired, you guys. So sometimes we need to just be tired enough to sleep through the storm, and that's okay. We talk about the rest in the Lord. Well, this is what it looks like. Jesus worked hard, and it doesn't seem like he slept much, you know. He prayed at night. He had a relationship with the Father, ongoing relationship with the Father. It was exhausting having those disciples who were constantly asking those same questions over and over, you know. And he did it. And so he was tired, and he slept. I love it. Slept right through the storm until they woke him up. So I believe I have a message for this morning, for this body. I believe the Lord gave me a word for this morning. Our joy comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from your spouse. You can turn to your spouse if he's near and just say, "My joy isn't coming from you." I'm serious. This is the truth. This is the word of God. I think sometimes we forget that, and that's what we get hurt. That's what we get frustrated. That's what we get unhappy, because we expect joy to come from someone or something. But the truth is that joy comes from the Lord and only from Him. And I mean, it sounds great, but what does that look like in reality, in practical life? How do you get it? Where do you go get it? How do you carry it around? And that's something that I believe we need to do by reading the Word, studying the Word. What does He say to do? What does He teach us and encourage us to do? What does He challenge us with? Because we all are able to hear if we're listening. Are you hearing this, you guys? We're all able to hear. If we're listening, He says, "For those that have ears shall listen." So listen. Listen from God. What is He telling you to change in your lives, to change in your heart, to change in your family? Maybe you don't pray as family, except before the meal. Maybe you don't pray with your spouse, except in the church. Maybe it's something the Lord wants to change in your family. So I'm challenging you with this. Trust the Lord to bring newness into your home, newness into your life, because He is God of new. The scripture says the Holy Spirit renews every day, you guys. Can you imagine every day an upgrade, an update in your life? So just as soon as by the end of the day, you got comfortable and used to a certain path, He says, "Take a new one tomorrow." A great example of that is Abraham. Do you remember Abraham? Yeah. What does the Bible call him? A man of what? Faith. He had to get up and go. God didn't even tell him where to go. If you don't believe me, you can read it yourself at home. His whole life is pretty amazing. But God just told him, get up and go. No instruction, no direction. Go. Where, what, how, all these questions. And it wasn't like us today, you know, a backpack and off you go, flight or something. It was like walking with all your, you know, animals and all your family members. It's a huge, massive move. But he was obedient. Obedience to God is sometimes very much of a sacrifice. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. I believe God always has a vision for his children. I believe he always has a vision for us. Amen? And I believe that vision is beyond your time here. I believe it goes way further. He's outside of time and space. He is God beyond our generation. He is above it all. And so he sees beyond just your choice today. So he challenges us to make the right choice for tomorrow and for the future generation, for the next generation after that. So we thank you, Lord. Wow, this is so good. I love it. I have a testimony, I believe. A really great one. So I was here just recently in November, right? Is there anybody who did come to our gala a couple weeks ago? Trope Gala. Oh, thank you so much. I wanted to thank you guys. Thank you so much for coming out. It was a great turnout. It's always a testimony for me to see how many people are involved and included, engaged, and a part of what we're doing. And it's so amazing. And I mean, obviously, you are a part of it here. But those that came out, thank you so much. It was a great night, wasn't it? So I want to encourage you before I get carried away with the word and the message the Lord has given me. I want to encourage you to find out more about our ministry. Go to the website and just sign up for a newsletter. We don't send them out too often, but 4 times a year, I believe, you will receive an update. There's videos and testimonies, kind of like Luke's. It's really amazing. With subtitles, of course, you're going to have to read, you know, the Russian chatter. And it's great glory of God, really, all testimony. And one that I have to share this morning is, one of them, is about Yarik. He's a boy who we have recorded his testimony. We'll have it on YouTube in probably a week, but it's a little bit longer than just a couple of minutes. So we didn't show it this morning because it's a lot of reading. And he was a good boy. He grew up in an orphanage, great kid, straight A student, doing wonderful. And then, you know, he was graduating orphanage and life, he was 15, he graduated and life just went downhill. Not like one day, you know, by another day got worse gradually. It wasn't like there was a sharp drop all the way to the bottom. He started doing drugs. He got involved with muggers. He got involved in all kinds of crimes. And I mean, he was at risk of being thrown into prison. Everything just went downhill immediately. And he didn't know how to live life. That's a short version of his little life. And when I was leaving to come here in 2019, so just 4 months ago, he was doing drugs so heavily at this point. He was already 18, so heavily at this point. I thought I would come back after the States for his funeral. We've buried kids before, even younger than that, and teenagers and young adults because of that, either suicide or drugs or just crime on the street. And so my concern was that his story is going to be just the same. But we trust God who changes history. Amen? And so I it was a tough decision for me to come out here in November because I wanted to stay back home. And just I was wondering, is he going to be okay? Is there anything I can do to protect him and save him from dying? But there was nothing. And the Lord said, he's mine before he's yours. So I trusted God again more and more. And I said, okay, God. So I made a choice and I came here. And I was, of course, praying as I'm going. And I'm here for a couple of days. And then I get a text from one of our ministers. And he says, Max, so you told us to, you know, take Yarik to rehab. We took him in. 2 days later, he checked himself out. He left the rehab. We don't know where he's at. So of course, you know, I'm starting to pray more. Worry turns into prayer, right? And so I'm praying a lot more, expecting God to do something, counting only on that. And I get another text that same day, later in the day, from the same minister, and he's saying, you know what, he showed up. He's at my door, by my house. Should I let him in? I'm like, of course, let him in and talk to him. Just find out what's happened, you know. And long story short, a couple of days later, I, of course, called and talked to them both. And Yadik tells me the story that he walked out of rehab, checked himself out. And it was really the last place for him to be at, because everywhere else he stayed, he robbed and hurt people and did all horrible things. So rehab was really his last option. And long story short, this walk from rehab to our city, which was about 40-mile walk, he was just arguing, getting angry, and got relating to Papa God. Even when you're angry, and even then when you pray and shout and swear at him, you guys, he can take that. Your pastor might not, I won't, but he will. He can take that. He can handle it. So take all of that and give it to him. And so he did that. He knew to do that. And he was walking and arguing and crying and freaking out and still going through withdrawals. And long story short, he said, somewhere in the middle of my path, probably like 30 miles later, because he was approaching the city already, he said, I just stopped and I said, God, if you're real, let somebody pick me up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm tired of walking. Let somebody pick me up. He doesn't have any money. And a bus, you guys, a minute later, a bus stops right there in the middle of nowhere, like villages and fields and no bus stops and people around. And it just stops right there. And the driver opens the door and he says, get in. The ride is free for you. Wow. He gets in, he sits down and starts to cry. Because he understands now that his dad not only hears his prayer, but also answers the prayers. So guess what? He does what every child would do. He asks for more. Like, wow, if I can get away with this, I'm going to ask for more. So he started to ask God to set him free, to deliver him from this addiction he's got, from all these other addictions. He had paranoia. He couldn't be with people in a big set group of people. Like, he couldn't look him in the eyes. He would always look into the floor. He was addicted to drugs, pornography, all of these things, gambling, stealing, everything. It was just his lifestyle that became the norm. And then he gets, you know, into the city and waits for hours and hours for a minister to show up after work. And he just sits by the door. And the minister, Stephen, he shows up and he lets him in. They kind of sleep on it, you know, whatever happened. He listens to his testimony and his story. But we've heard this before, you know, all these good things that you are thinking and good plans that you have. We've heard this before. And then you fall off the wagon again. And so, Stopa was kind of concerned. And of course, he was watching his things all night. And in the morning, Yadik woke up and he said, the first thing that I realized God did was he set me free from everything. I realized I didn't have a desire to go smoke. I didn't have a desire to go look for money to steal or things to steal and sell to get drugs. I had no desire to do any of those things. God completely, radically set him free, redeemed his life. Yeah. He is the God of supernatural. Amen. And today, Yadik is actually part of our team. He asked me to get him, when I came back in November, he asked me to get him a Bible. So I got him a Bible and highlighters, you know, markers. And his whole Bible is like pink and yellow. It's just soaked in this markers. So I think I'm going to get him a new one now. Because I'm like looking at it, I'm like, Yadik, you have to leave some space for like notes or something. No, it's all so good. And he's just highlighting everything. He's really eating this word. It's like for the first time in his life, he's finally seeing. It's like for the first time in his life, he's finally eating. And sometimes we get so used to that, so familiar with that. So, what's the word I'm looking for? So common. It becomes so common to us. He's not a special God anymore. He doesn't do anything special. Well, he creates new things every day. He does. He's so creative, more than you and I can ever imagine. So I encourage you to take a step of faith. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever your situations are, if you're still debating about certain things, don't. Don't even discuss it. Trust it to him completely and say, God, okay, whatever you say, we'll do. Whatever that looks like, we're going to trust you and make this step of faith. I want to talk about this one woman really quick, and I encourage you to read about her in Genesis. Her name is, correct me if I say it wrong, Hagar? Yeah. Oh, wow, I'm good. This is good. You know, it's English. It's not easy. You know, Wayne talks to me about Star Wars movie. He's a big fan of it. And I realized that I don't know most of those words from that movie. Yeah. And, you know, because English was given to me as a gift from God. So he didn't include that vocabulary. So I realized I don't know a lot of it. And even when I try to watch the movie, because I did, I tried a couple of times and I just fell asleep. Probably because I couldn't understand most of it. So we need to learn the vocabulary of God. Amen. So Hagar is an amazing woman of God, but she had a tough journey. And I say amazing because at the end of the day, through all of her disaster, she was obedient. She made a decision to, you know, leave the house where she was working. You can look it up. I'm paraphrasing and shortening it a lot. But she worked in the house. She was a slave and she enjoyed it up until one moment that things got uncomfortable. She picked up and decided to leave. And as soon as she left, guess who shows up? An angel. And he says, listen, you got to go back. Like what? For years I've been planning and strategizing and hoping to get the heck out of this hell. And you're telling me to go back to that? Is this God? I mean, the angel's right there. So she makes a choice to be obedient, a very painful choice to be obedient. And she goes back. Then she has a son and then she runs away again and she wants to give him up and leave him in the bushes. That was her decision. So she does that. And then again, an angel shows up and says, what are you doing? Pick up your son. And a short version of this, the Lord says, get up. I'm just reading Genesis 21:18. So if you want to open this with me. He says, get up, pick up your son, take his hand, because I will do something amazing through his life. And I'm paraphrasing, but God is not only asking her to be obedient, he's giving her the vision of what will happen if she trusts him. So listen, he doesn't ask us to simply be obedient, just to be obedient, just to control our lives or dictate how to live. He's showing you the vision that he has for you and for your generations to come after you. He's giving you the future. He's trusting you that he's showing you that today your act, your painful act of obedience will actually cause something amazing in the next generation to come. That's so amazing. That's such a way of God, right? He doesn't just do this one little thing. He does so much more through that one little thing that to us sometimes seems insignificant. So I do encourage you to study her life a little bit more. Hagar, I mean, and just watch how God talks to her, what he does through her. I remember one time I was sitting in the church service, and you guys, this is a very humbling testimony I'm sharing, if you will. So I'm sitting in the back, somewhere in the way back, a huge church, almost 1,000 people church, and it's packed, and I'm sitting in the way back, and there's always people in the back who kind of whisper and talk and don't really care about the message, you know. And so I wasn't part of that group. I was part of those who says, tss, 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 shut up, you know, and kind of an annoying one in that group. But this time it was like a typical service. Some preacher came and he was preaching and he was talking about himself so much. And he was talking about his crusade trips and he was talking about these testimonies. And at one point I caught myself kind of just turning him off. I was like, I'm done listening to this guy. I've heard this kind of stuff before. You know, so in my heart, I didn't verbalize it. I didn't get up and leave. I stayed. But in my heart, I just turned him off. I tuned him down. And right then, behind this speaker, behind this preacher and his translator, a huge angel appeared. You guys, it was an angel that was reaching the ceiling. The ceilings were way higher than this. Reaching the ceiling with a sword, standing like a guard. Right behind the speaker. And the room was a lot bigger. It was going both sides. And so I'm sitting way in the back on one side. And the angel turns my way and stretches the sword. And literally the sword, I can see, this is a vision. And I can see the sword like right here by my throat. And I'm not moving because it's so real. It's a vision that I'm seeing, but it's so real. And I'm just freaked out by the size of the angel. The fact that he's like telling me something through this, you know, with the sword, no less. And so, yeah, I'm freaked out. And then he says, who are you to judge the word of God? A very humbling experience for me. A very freaky, humbling experience for me. Since then, I never criticized or never judged what I couldn't understand, what I didn't like. That's not what you and I are called to do. We're not invited into criticizing the word of God, the message that's being preached. If you don't get it, it doesn't mean it's not good. We're not invited to rate the church, to grade the church, to leave the church and say, well, this was okay. That's not what he is inviting us to do. You could do that after a movie. But even through movies, he can speak to us. He knows how we listen. He knows how to speak to us. So I encourage you to not be critical, to not be judgmental, because we tend to be that way out of a habit. It becomes a habit. This is what we do every day. This is what I give thumbs up on Facebook or likes on whatever, hearts on Instagram, or you go to a restaurant and you rate their service there. We just tend to criticize and leave comments everywhere, not with the body of Christ. The only thing that you have been invited to be a part of in the body of Christ is to help, is to serve, is to fill in. If you see a gap, fill in. If you see something's not working right, offer yourself. Isn't he good? So we are so privileged to do what we do in Ukraine. And you know, we minister to orphans and so many more. But I see these kids, you guys, grow up to be part of a family. Mary talked about them wanting family, being hungry for family, in need of that. And Amanda talked a little bit about that, that how significant that is. And, you know, we can't be dads and moms for everybody, but we can be a figure of that. We can be a family of God. Amen. Sometimes you think, well, I'm not worthy to reflect the heart of God. You're right. None of us are. He makes us worthy. Amen. I want to read a scripture with you guys. Psalm 16. Verse 11. You reveal the path of life to me. Who's tired of living the path of death? All of us, right? He's a God of life. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. Say amen, somebody. Yes. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Not from your family the joy comes. Not from your spouses. Not from your paycheck. Not from the bills that you pay. Not from a healing that you expect. Not from any of that. The joy comes from the Lord and only from him. I remember you guys, Esther in the Bible. You remember Esther? She was an orphan and she was a young girl when she was taken in. And I love her life because it's so close to most of our kids. Her life was a life of an orphan, really just living with an uncle, not having parents. Maybe uncle was an amazing uncle for her, but you still dream to have a mom and a dad. It's just somebody you could call that. She didn't have that. And so she was taken into this kingdom to be the queen by by the king, you guys. I mean, it's huge pressure. Huge pressure. Was she ready for it? Probably not. Are you ready to do what God is asking you to do? Probably not. But that's okay, because it's not up to you, your skill or abilities. It's about him, what he wants to do. Are you willing, is the question. And so she finally said yes. And then her uncle asked her to pray for the people, but also fight for the people because they were being killed. There's people out there who are dying because they're living a sinful life. And you and I know it too well. Some of us have members of family like that. And we pray and we intercede and we pray. But is there something we could do more for them? And so Esther was not really willing to go before the king. And I'll make this very short. She wasn't willing. She was afraid. But Mordecai, her uncle, challenged her. We need those people in our lives. We need those people that challenge us, that stretch us, that help us to walk out of our comfort zone. And okay, I'll try it. He challenged her. She went before the king. She prayed. She went before the king. And you guys, this was the moment where she should have been killed. By law, according to tradition, she should have been killed. She wasn't allowed in the presence of the king at the time. But she went, and guess what the king did? He was merciful. He said, I love you. What is it that you want? And she asks for something so insignificant, something so simple. She says, come to have dinner with me. And when he comes, she says, bring Haman with you. Bring the devil with you. Bring your problem with you. You guys, are you listening to this? Do you have problems in your life? Do you have things that aren't resolved yet? So she says, you come and I'll prepare a feast for you. And the devil should come as well. So she's inviting the enemy to come as well. Just so the enemy could watch her have this deep, meaningful, significant, close, intimate relationship with the king. And the enemy has no power. You can be this close, but you have no authority. You can sit at the same table, but you can watch me build my relationship with my king. Sometimes we forget to focus on the one that truly matters. We focus on all these other things. And I remember one time a doctor told me, I went for some checkup or something, and he gave me bad news, like bad news. Like one news after another. And I'm like, whoa, this is a lot of garbage. Like, I don't even understand some of these words. It was in Russian, but I still couldn't understand it. And so I'm sitting there, and at one point I could feel, it was just the doctor and I in his office, and I could feel the breath of wind, just a tiny little breath of wind. And the Holy Spirit just went right through me. And God said, check with your source. You know, we often check with Google. We have a very good relationship with Google or Siri or whatever it is that you talk to. But the thing is that you and I need to check with the source. We need to check with the Lord. Like, what are you telling me? The doctor is giving me one diagnosis. Friends are saying to do this other thing. What are you telling me? Because that's the only source that we should trust. Amen. I remember one of our girls that's, you know, in the ministry that we ministered to for a while, her name is Alina. She came to us probably this summer, July or August, very bad with time. So she came to us and she asked for help. She brought a whole wad of just like paperwork, just a huge pile of paperwork that she got from the orphanage, and she didn't know what to do with it. It's very typical. If they have paperwork, it's easier for us to do something. If they don't have any, that's a little harder, but it's a process. So she gave me all this paperwork and she said, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, why is it all so dirty and wet? And like, what happened to it? And it's like folded and like, what did you do? Like, I care about paperwork because I understand how much value it has and what it could do for her. And I'm like, why, where did you keep it? She said, well, but please don't like tell my friends. I'm like, okay. She said, I hid it in like a basement of a building. I'm like, okay, so that's why there's like rats poop on it. She's like, probably. And I slept there as well. And I'm like, how long were you sleeping there? She said, a couple weeks. I'm like, why were you sleeping in the, you know, in the basement of a building? She said, I didn't have anywhere else to go. And she was a graduate from an orphanage. So for the entire summer, when she graduated before the summer, she was sleeping in the basement of an apartment building. That's where she slept. And I said, Alina, what do you want to happen in your life? Do you want to keep living like this? She said, of course not. But what can I do to change that? I said, you just did it. You're willing. If you're willing for the change to happen, then He will make it happen. And so I took her paperwork, you guys. It took me probably a couple of days to study it. But long story short, she doesn't read. She's illiterate. She doesn't read at all. And when I studied her paperwork, she actually has an apartment to inherit. So I submitted paperwork. Within a couple of months, she had her apartment. Sometimes you and I have the treasure right in front of our faces. Such precious, expensive, most valuable, most important, life-saving, life-changing, life-transforming Word of God is before us. And sometimes we treat it like garbage. Simply because we don't read it. Or don't have time to read it. So I do encourage you to discover your inheritance. What is that? And to do that, you need to study the Word. You need to build a relationship with the Father. It could be challenging at times and it could seem like that. But at the end of the day, it's such an enjoyable process. Josiah, would you come up and pray for a little bit, play for a little bit, please? Yeah, thank you. I think I'm just going to pray with you for a little bit, you guys. I feel like the Lord is doing something. I feel like the Lord is challenging all of us as the body of Christ and as individuals to be obedient even until it hurts. To be obedient even until it's uncomfortable. I feel like He's challenging us to be obedient and to trust His vision for us. He's not a mean, aggressive father who just wants His way. He reveals His mysteries to the righteous ones, the scripture says. But He does have mysteries. So if there are things in your life that you don't understand, things in your life that doesn't make sense, they just don't. Like, why am I still sick? Why am I still this? Why am I still in debt? Why am I this? Take all the courses and all the counseling and all the advice that you can. But trust the Lord. He knows what He's doing. His ways are often mysterious and don't make sense. He's the God of mystery, you guys, after all. He's not just a buddy. He's not just a friend. He's the God of mystery. And He decides when to reveal His mysteries to the righteous ones on His own time. So I want to trust Him with that. I want to trust Him with everything. If you have something to trust Him today, an area of your life that you wanted to solve on your own because of your abilities, because of your talent, because of your gifts, because of your connections, because of your ways, trust Him today. Choose to do that instead. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You for the fact that you take us out of our circumstances and You let us taste Your goodness. You let us see Your goodness. You're always good. And it doesn't matter whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, You're always good. You never change, but You always create new things. So Father, today we declare Your goodness in our lives. Today we say that our joy comes from You. True joy comes from You. So today we expect from You. We don't expect from our circumstances. We don't rely on our experiences. We trust You completely, Lord. We thank You, Father. We thank You for the vision that You give us, the vision for our families, the vision for our church, the vision for our lives. And if You give us the vision, You give us the provision, because You are that kind of dad. We thank You, Lord. I feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody individually here. He's saying, it is time that you choose my fast. Whatever that is, I feel like He's challenging you to give something up. And instead of that one thing that you've been doing for a while and it's been taking so much of your time, He's challenging you to give it up, but replace it with the time with your Father in a secret place. Hear from Him. Listen from Him. Receive the direction. Receive the vision that He has. Maybe it's social media. You've been so involved to follow all these news on Facebook, Instagram, whatever takes up too much of your time. Maybe it's movies. Fast that for a month. I feel like the Lord is challenging you personally, and you know who you are. Maybe it's this news about governments. Maybe you need to fast that. And by fasting, you simply replace it with the time for the Lord. You say, okay, no more of this, more of you, God. What you say is more important. What you think is more important. I want to hear your voice. In your presence, there's joy. In your presence, there's healing. In your presence, there are answers. In your presence, I am saved. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the new perspective. We thank you for the new eyes to see through your eyes, through your lenses. We thank you, Lord. Can you just be grateful and tell Him, I thank you. Find something in your life to be grateful for. I thank you, Lord, that I have food for today and for every day. I thank you, Lord, that I have roof over my head for my family. I thank you, Lord, that you give me strength for each day. Even when I feel weak, you still give me strength to walk through the day. You are my strength. I thank you, Lord, for my marriage. I thank you, Father, for our children. I thank you for what you have trusted me in the ministry. I thank you for the church that I am a part of. I thank you, Lord. Be grateful to Him today. We thank you, Father. We love you so much. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up even more. Maybe put your hand on your brother next to you or your sister next to you, or just hold their hand and say a short prayer for them. A very short one, a blessing. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with His joy. I bless you with the abundance. I bless you with His love. Bless each other. That's what we are called to do, to love one another, to reflect His heart, the heart of love, Father's love. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Bless you, church. You are wonderful. I love you so much. Thank you, Pastor Dave.